Thank you to our worship team for helping kind of keep us in that state where we can really be aware of the presence of God. And each of us need the presence of God in different ways and at different times for different things. So I hope that during that time, whatever it is that you need, that the Lord was able to meet you in that place. And when the Lord meets you, there's also an invitation that comes along with that. It's an invitation to go where the Lord then wants to lead you. Sometimes that's the scarier part. Not just the Lord met me in my place of need, but now what is the Lord calling me to do or inviting me to do? This is a week where we kind of pivot a little bit. We're a couple weeks past the celebration of Easter and resurrection morning. And I know this, and you know this, that we all carry burdens. We all have things that weigh heavy on us. And when we step through those doors, they don't automatically get left at the door. We still carry them in us. I know for, in my particular family growing up, even though I was often forced to come to church, not necessarily in a bad way, but those car rides over were not always the nicest car rides over. So we're not fooling anyone. We're all in different places, though. We all have different circumstances that produce anxiety and times that overwhelm us and moments that trigger negativity, sometimes right before you step in that door. I just want you to know I'm aware of that, as I know you are as well. Each of these things in our life, which is almost like a natural part of growing or being human, can lead itself to other things like burnout, things like withering, a sense of withering on the vine, a lack of vitality in your life. And it can even lead to more destructive cycles and patterns that sometimes we are well aware of, even ashamed of. Sometimes it feels like you are hurtling down Highway 4. As you crest that hill, you know, when you're coming west here, or coming east, and you crest that hill, and you're hurtling down, and you're in the far left lane, and then you have to get off at Bailey Road, or you have to get off at the next exit, and you're like, how am I? I just feel like I'm being swept along in this stream that's way too fast for me, and I'm almost out of control. What you need most is that off-ramp, maybe even a left off-ramp, something that is helpful to get off that highway where you just feel so out of control. In the midst of it, sometimes it feels like there's never an exit when you need it, only when you don't. Just after you thought, oh, I don't have to go to the bathroom, and you pass that exit, and you're driving over the mountains and through Nevada, and suddenly the next exit is 50 miles later, and it says next gas, you know, and you just know that you're not going to make it. Those kinds of feelings are what we often feel in life at different times as well. When you look around this room right now, I want you to recognize that whether it's the person sitting next to you or by you or on the other side of the room, each person has experienced some of these types of things in different ways at different points in their life. In this, we are actually all part of one family. We have this commonality that we've all experienced these types of things that are not always helpful, but they are a part of our human reality. Regardless of what our carefully cultivated lives on Facebook, Instagram, or just smiling out in public tend to say. Life is not an Instagram filter. Yet God in his amazing mercy has actually provided us all that we need. And I'd be the first to admit that even though I know that sometimes in my head, sometimes my heart doesn't always get the message. You know, the fact that God has provided everything I need, I don't always feel it here. And sometimes it's very hard to recognize that I have to actually do something. I have to be much more aware of what's going on. And it can feel very hard. The Word of God and the Spirit of God are the primary ways that God has given us what we need It's just, how do we access that in those times of need? How can we take the pain of our wounds and redeem it in some new way? Not that the wounds are magically gone. If anything, we were talking about this, Amy, before the service, that our wounds, through the power of God, can be healed and can actually be used by God for his purposes. But we don't always know how to do that, and we don't always do that. Say more.
Well, I was just going to say they point to times when the enemy tried to defeat us, and they remind us that in those moments we may have been harmed or hurt or whatever, but God did not allow us to be defeated. And in the end, God redeems and restores. And we may have that mark, but it's not to show how weak we were, it's to show how strong God is.
She just said what she said. So, yes. When those friends saw Jesus, they didn't know he was Jesus, and they encountered him on the road, and they shared that meal, and then they were able to recognize who Jesus was. And when Jesus appeared to people in living flesh, resurrected, they saw his wounds, and they saw how they had been transformed, and what the power of God could potentially do for them. Friends, we are now several weeks beyond Easter and that celebration, and that we love that beautiful time of celebrating the resurrection. And in that moment that changed everything, as we've been talking about the last few weeks, signs of new life actually start to burst forth. We actually see it physically in our world as we go around. You've seen all the flowers blooming. If you're on Facebook, sometimes you'll see Tim Stone posting some wonderful pictures of that garden in the background. Or maybe just when you've been walking around, you see signs of new life, tangible signs. But there are other new signs that we can see as well. Easter is more than just a single moment. It's meant to be a season, a new season. You know, when you have a garden or a field, we were driving back from the ocean yesterday and we saw a farmer out with a plow, plowing, tilling the field. And it was this beautiful, like, black dirt. And it looked empty. But without all that preparation, it would not be ready to receive what would come out of the ground in a few short months from now. Ray, when you're out in your gardens doing your work, you know this. It takes a lot of work. You know, when you're out in your yards, it needs preparation. Weeding and tilling. Nobody likes to do that work. But once you're done with it, the ground isn't meant to stay empty. And if the weeks before Easter, as I said before, are traditionally a time where we seek to give something up, then the time or the season of Easter is where we can do the opposite, where we can take time to take something into our life or learn to develop something new that God wants us to grow and eventually produce fruit. This is a perfect season to do that. So we're going to do that over the next 30 days or next 4 weeks, however you want to do it. We're going to work to develop or cultivate some simple life-giving habits. And sometimes choosing a nice number, like 30 days or 4 weeks, is a short enough time that it's achievable and not so long that you get a little ways in and you're like, I just can't do this anymore. But we want to do this to help reinvigorate our life in this season, to try to restore some meaningful balance. That's a word that sometimes I hear from some of you as we're talking. Man, I just feel out of balance. And sometimes redirect our focus or sense of purpose in life. So there's three areas. On the back of your bulletin, there are lots of different things that we could have selected, but I want to just choose three simple areas or three different areas that are deliberately broad so that it gives you a lot of option here. Who likes options? Some people don't. Who likes options? But not too many options, you know. Getting to choose two or three different kinds of bottled water, you don't want 20 different options. Okay, so we're just going to do three today. Simple three ways that we can cultivate. And here's the good news. You don't even have to do three. You can choose one. One area to focus on. The first one is what I'm going to call joy. I put in parentheses heart. Cultivating joy. Regular infusions of joy improve our vibrancy in life. They actually improve our health by building up a spirit-powered reserve of strength within us. And these are not my words. These are according to one of my mentors and someone who is actually a pastor and a trained psychologist about cultivating joy is one of the simplest, most important things that we can do in our lives, especially for those seasons of struggle. When you are empty, when you have no reserves to draw on, what do you do when things are really, really tough? Tougher than they are now. It's almost impossible to find your way out of it. But by learning to cultivate a simple habit of joy, we can build up a well to draw our strength from. Nehemiah 8:10 says, this is to God's people who had just returned from exile, and this is what the word says. Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you are feeling weak in any way, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I'll say more about joy specifically next week. I want to touch on each of the three today, and then you'll get to choose which one you want to focus on over the next 4 weeks. Joy, as we've said before, is more than just an outward expression on someone's face. You know, it's that deep emotion that God has given and created within us that just sometimes just wells up or bubbles up out of us. It's that deep, sustaining pool of renewal that can help us weather the roller coaster of our daily emotional state. When we seek to intentionally cultivate joy, it actually becomes a habit for us, a good habit. It's like joy is that off-ramp to all of that out-of-control chaos on Highway 4. It gives you a way to sort of say, okay, I'm just going to reset for a moment here and feel that sense of restoration and renewal. Joy can actually affect our emotions greatly. It can reduce the effects of burdensome stress. It can act as a catalyst to break out of damaging loops or ruts of negativity that we experience if we are intentional about it. If joy is the thing that you feel at the end of this that you want to focus on for the next 30 days, then what you're going to do is you are going to each day make a simple record. You can just write something down. Of how you made time for joy, I'm broadening it here, play, ooh, some people perked up, or adventure that helped lift your spirit and add to the deep well of joy that God is growing within you. Joy, play, or adventure. What are some things that would come to your mind that might you would throw in that bucket? Just to give people a few ideas, although I don't really want to limit you.
This isn't going to surprise anybody. Hanging out with my pup.
Hanging out with Phoenix. The pup, yeah. Sometimes as little as 30 minutes or less will have a profound impact. And if you do this consistently each day for 30 days, just like learning to brush your teeth, you create this habit of building in an experience of joy into your life. 30 minutes, maybe that's too much for you. Maybe you don't have 30 minutes. 5 minutes, maybe that's more doable. Yeah, Ray.
Something that seems real simple to me, but just seeing a seed that I planted actually emerge.
Seeing a seed that you planted, yeah.
Actually bringing me so much joy. And I know it's not me that's doing that. I know it's God that's allowing that seed to
So joy, play, adventure. And don't get me wrong, this does not have to be overly spiritual either. So if your tendency is to want to over-spiritualize things, you don't need to do that in this case. Joy can be very simple as well. If that's too broad, think of something that really touches your heart, all right? That's number one. We'll talk more about joy next week as well. Focus number two. Maybe some of you would want to focus on a different area. So I would call this cultivating action, something with your hands. For those of you that are movement, kinesthetic people who like to, or you're the doer, maybe that's what you need to do. Although if you're the doer, maybe you want to focus on one of the things that comes a little less naturally to you. Cultivating action. Engaging in meaningful actions that bring life and love to someone else. And it actually helps you as well in the process. It grows deeper roots within you that can tap into the transforming love of Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Clarification.
Yeah.
Joy, play, adventure. Is that all part of
the number one? Sure. Joy, play, adventure. Different words to describe the same kind of thing. Because sometimes we think of joy as a spiritual word. So sometimes just having a little bit more play or adventure in your life can help restore or build that well back up. Maybe you've experienced or can remember the feeling of taking a concrete action to bless someone else before. Maybe that's what your area of focus needs to be for the next 30 days. Just like joy, cultivating action or simple acts in your life need not be overly complicated, and they can powerfully help us to change our behavior over time. We all know that that's how habits are formed, that we form habits and that actually leads to behavioral change in our life. Cultivating action, positive changes that both bless and bring life to someone else. The cool thing about actions is that they also act as a blessing to you, sometimes without even realizing it. Especially when you are focused on things that bring life and love to someone else, that's what brings delight to the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God both affirms and acknowledges the work of your hands in that. When I served in an area that had a lot of farmers, one of the things that I mentioned one time was that how do you find joy and how do you see what you're doing with your hands each and every day as a way to serve God? You know, can God take delight in the work of your hands? Yes, when we are acknowledging it and aware of it, yes. So if that's an area that you would like to focus on, same thing, each day, record a simple action that you took to demonstrate or experience the good news of Jesus. And in the process, this is something that will help deepen your spiritual roots. If you need sort of a verse to kind of drive you in this area, Micah 6:8, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." Maybe you're sitting there right now and you're already sensing, ooh, some of these might be good on different days. So maybe you want to, at the end of this, come to a point where you sort of cultivate a variety of these different things over the next 30 days. Let's hit number three, though. Cultivating perspective. I put in parentheses the head, or you can think of our brain. This is probably the most internal one. This is one for folks who perhaps need more time to see from the perspective of God. In all of creation, the human brain is one of the most profound and complex parts of creation. It's capable of almost anything. It has an instinct for the highest aims, and sometimes it has the lowest instincts as well. For those of you that want to focus on cultivating a godly perspective, beginning with a purpose of reflecting the glory of God into the world sometimes requires us to take our eyes off of the mirror. You know, we're really good at looking at ourselves. But cultivating perspective is all designed to start to see how is God seeing the world in this situation. What is some of the characteristics that I see in the Word of God or in another writing that reflect the character of God? Cultivating perspective. One of the things that as we seek to cultivate perspective it does is it expands our vision outward as we focus on people outside of ourselves. We see things that God models in His Word and we see it enacted in the world. So if this is an area that you want to focus on, and I'm deliberately not giving you all the answers today because this is going to require some work of you, each day record how a God-focused thought or verse or perspective that you encounter helps you to see the world as God sees it more clearly. Maybe in this season that's too much. Maybe this is a season where working with your hands is easier or more needed. Maybe this is a season where focusing on cultivating joy is more needed or necessary. Only you actually really know that in yourself. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Friends, when we seek to cultivate God-centered habits, what does it do? It keeps us grounded in the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ. And it keeps us moving forward on the path of life that actually brings delight to the face of God. I don't know about you, but I do know that in my life, it is necessary certain times to cultivate different habits, whether it's to replace other things that are less helpful, or a word, maybe God is really saying, I really need you to focus on this right now. For some of you, maybe that's focusing on joy. An act of that brings you joy, an act of play or adventure. For some of you, it's an act that actually is using your hands as a source of blessing to someone else. And for some of you, it's about gaining or cultivating that perspective to see as God sees. Maybe it's reading a little bit of your Bible every day to help you in that. Or maybe it's, you know, maybe it's that one blog or that one person connecting with that can help expand your perspective. Just like all of those, whatever you choose to do, jot a little something down every day. And at the end of 30 days, and we're going to check in every week, okay? At the end of those 30 days, if you've completed something, I'm going to ask you to send it to me. Don't worry, I'm the only one that's going to see it. And if you do that, there's something for you at the end. I'm available for more questions if you're struggling to come up with ideas. But let me say this. Don't overcomplicate it. Just like when I was learning to brush my teeth. Up, down, do, 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 in, out. I think my mom even taught me a little song when I was first learning. Don't overcomplicate it, all right? Friends, let's pray. God, I pray that the area to focus on for the next 30 days that you have in mind for each person here, that you would speak that into their heart right now. Whether it's cultivating joy, cultivating action, cultivating perspective. And even bigger that in this process, you would grow us in the ways that we need to grow. And that as we grow, just as we look out and we see signs of new life bursting forth out of the ground, that we too might see that in our own lives, those signs of growth, and eventually the bearing of that good fruit that you desire to see in us. God, will you help us in this? Will you fill us up? Will you renew our wells that are dry and allow us to reflect your light and love out into the world? We pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
Let me leave us with this word. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forever as you go in peace. Amen and amen. Great to be with you, church.